Shalom to all. Today we're learning Masechas Arachin, Perek Hamish Navav and Perek Vav Mishnah Aleph. And today's Mishnah are being learned B'schos Asabas Rachel Shishi B'zecher Avayin Rezivik Hagon Bikar of Mamish. And Mishnah tells us Chayv Arachim, if a person has to pay an erech that he made Memashkin my son, we're going to take a mashkin from the collateral from them. That's because they're not necessarily pressured to pay right away. So the Gizbar, the treasurer of Hektish, will go to him, maybe go into his house and take something of value from him until he pays up. Now, if something similar but different, Chayav Chatos Hashamos, if a person has to bring a carbon Chatos or Asham, that's because they did a particular Avera that requires them to bring this carbon. Aim a mashkin son. There's no need to take a mashkin from them. That's because this is a chiyuv they have to bring right away in order to receive a kapara, so we don't have to be afraid that the person is going to delay it. However, chayav yoyos shlamim, the person has to bring a carbon oil or shlamim. Maybe they promised or they donated it, so this is something that we are afraid that they're going to delay. Therefore, in mashkin son, we will take a mashkin from them in order to inspire them to bring it. But here's the emphasis: alfal bi she'ein mischaper la'ad she'yisratzet. It's not going to be mechaper for them until they want. In other words, they have to want to bring it from their own. If they decide, I'm not bringing this oil or shlamim, even if we're going to try to force them, we're going to take a mashkin from them, it still has to come from within them. They have to decide to bring it on their own. Shemar, because the pasuk says, lertsoinoi, for his will. What do we learn from here? Koifnoi sachiyim or roitsani, we force a person to do it until he says, roitsani, that I want to. But until he says, I want to, so it's not counted. And v'chinato ermigite nashim, the same thing is with a get. If a person has a chiyuv to give a get and he's not, koifnoi sachiyim or roitsani, we force him until he says, I want to. And we'll go on to parak vav mishnah aleph. Shomha yisoimim, in evaluation for assignment for orphans is 30 days, that for a hektish is 60 days, and we announce morning and evening. Now, what's this referring to? So, Shema Yisayimim is referring to a father who died, leftover Yisayimim, leftover orphans that do not know what's going on with their father's property. Then a Baal Chayv comes along, is let's say a fellow with a shtar who shows that he's owed money by the father. So, in certain situations, not all of them, but in certain ones, the Yisayimim, these orphans, do have to pay up, and that's done in the most fair way possible. In order for them to be able to get the maximum for their fields, it was done as an evaluation. As we mentioned a few words later, there's an announcement that goes out for 30 days straight in the morning and in the evening. The Bezdin is going to be selling the property of these Yisayimim. It's such and such property, and it produces such and such amount of grain or whatever grows in that property. And the reason why it's done in the morning and in the evening is that when a person's workers go out to their field, he could tell them, hey, go check out that field which is being sold by Bezdin. Go tell me if it's good. Does it look like a worthwhile investment? How much does it produce? What's going on with it? And then the evening as well, there's an announcement so that when these workers are coming back home, they'll be able to remember to tell the Baal Bayis, to tell their employer what they saw and how the field was. And then at the end of the 30 days, there's an auction, and then it's going to be sold to the highest bidder, with the assumption of getting the most for their fields, and then they could pay off their father's debt. And it's the same thing with Hektish. If a person was makdish their property, if they donated their property to the Beis HaMikdash, so the same thing would be in order to be able to redeem it from Hektish. The mission continues something similar. Hamakdish Nechasov, Vahaisa of Ksubas Isha. Let's say a person was makdish all of his nechasim. He donated all of his property to the Beis HaMikdash, and the problem is that he has a Ksubas Isha. Every man, when he gets married, has a Ksuba, which is a legal document that states that if he dies or divorces her, she can come collect a certain amount of money from him. Now, the challenge is as follows. He doesn't have any money anymore because he was makdish all of it. Now, the woman is allowed to take her Ksuba. She could go to Hektish and collect her money, but it's her money and it's not her husband's anymore. So, Rabbi Lezer says, Kishir Gershana, when he divorces his wife, Yadir Hana, he has to make a neder hana, which means he has to make a public neder, a public vow, that he's never going to get benefit from her ever again, and that prevents the following situation. We're afraid that since this fellow doesn't have any money anymore because he was makdish all of it to the Beis HaMikdash, that he's going to pull some sort of trick, a kanunya, a harama, a little bit of something sly and maybe slightly dishonest. He's going to divorce his wife, she's going to now collect her ksuba from Hektish, and then he's going to remarry her, and now he could take this property back, so at least he has some money, and therefore, Rabbi Lezer says, in order to prevent this, when he divorces her, he has to make a neder that he's never going to get benefit from her ever again, and that means that even after she collects her ksuba, he's not going to be able to remarry her. Now, Rabbi Shua says, "Einu tzarich," that's not necessary at all, and that's because Rabbi Shua holds that when a person is makdish his nechasim, he could be shoyal on that. He can go to a chacham and say, "I never really intended to be makdish all my property," and the chacham's going to ask him a number of questions, and if everything checks out, then the chacham could be matir his neder. He could take away that neder, and then in terms of the person's properties are not donated to the Beis HaMikdash anyway, so he doesn't have any sort of reason to pull a trick by divorcing his wife and then remarrying her once he collects her ksuba, and that's what Yeshua says, this is not a necessity. If he does divorce her and he never was shoyal on his neder, he never had it taken away, he doesn't have to be madir hana, because we don't have to be afraid that he's doing anything dishonest here. The mission continues, similarly, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Afa Ariv L'Isha B'Ksubasa, also if a person was a guarantor for a woman for her ksuba, for example, Reuven's marrying Rachel, and he has to write a ksuba that he's going to give this amount of money to his wife if he divorces her, but the problem is, Reuven is so poor, he can't rub two pennies together, so he's never going to be able to pay the ksuba. Therefore, Shimon, Reuven's friend, is the guarantor for the ksuba, and he says, don't worry, if you divorce her or die, I'll pay it up. And Vahya Baila Magarsha, her husband's divorcing her, Reuven's divorcing his wife Rachel, and that means that now Shimon has to pay up. So Rav Shimon Gamliel tells us, Yader Hana, Reuven has to make this Neder Hana, that he's never going to benefit from his wife ever again, which means he's not allowed to remarry her, and that's because maybe he's just doing a trick. He's just trying to get the property of his friend Shimon. Maybe they're not such good friends. And then he's just going to remarry his wife once she collects her ksuba from Shimon. And or prevent this, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, this fellow Reuven has to make a neder hana that he's not going to benefit from his wife, which once again means he's not going to remarry her after he divorces her. We're going to stop it for the day and pick up tomorrow with Mishnah Beis and Gimel, discussing more cases of a person being makdish their nechasim. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.